All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Just to make sure we're all in the right place, this is session 4083, Teach the Children Well, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drug Prevention. Hopefully, if you just discovered you're not in the right place, you'll stick around because you're already here and this is going to be great. My name is Janet Brischke. I work in tobacco control at the American Academy of Pediatrics, and I will be the moderator today. I'm going to present quick intros on all four of our presenters, and then I'm going to let them get into their presentations. We're going to hold questions for the end. I want to make two really quick announcements at the beginning right now. Tonight is the ATOD section awards and reception at 6:30. It's in Golden Gate C2 over here. So come out and join us. That'll be a good time. And then also as a general public service announcement, the streets are going to be closed tomorrow from about 9 to 2 for the Giants Parade, if you haven't already heard. So there's going to be no shuttle service, so plan extra time tomorrow on your commute so you don't miss any sessions or miss out on any of the fun, I guess. So our first presenter today is going to be Heather Mosier. She's a research associate at the Institute of Community Research, which conducts research with community partners to promote social justice and health equity. She has over 11 years of experience conducting mixed method, multi-level research with expertise in participatory research, action research, and participatory video methods. She uses her background as a professional filmmaker to design research that is accessible to communities. Heather received her PhD in systems science, social community psychology from Portland State University. Our second presenter actually couldn't be with us today, so batting for him is Kyle Esdale. He's a DRPH student at Morgan State University. He works with Dr. Hussein there. So he will be presenting Dr. Hussein's presentation for us today. Our third presenter will be Carol Kumpfer. She is a PhD, a psychologist, and professor of health promotion and education at the University of Utah. She specializes in cross-cultural research and dissemination of evidence-based family-strengthening interventions to promote substance abuse, delinquency, child maltreatment, and to improve child health outcomes. Previously, she served as the director of the DHHS SAMHSA Center for Substance Abuse Prevention in Washington, for which she was honored with a White House Distinguished Service Award. Currently, she's the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime Consultant and has conducted a global search on evidence-based parenting and family interventions for dissemination to developing countries on their website. And then our final presenter today will be Kiara Landsman. She's a senior at California State University Dominguez Hills, majoring in health science with an emphasis in community health. Kiara's research interests include adolescent health behavior indicators and predictors such as religiosity, parental support, academic success, and substance abuse. She's currently working on preparing a manuscript with her mentor, Dr. Enrique Ortega, on health behaviors among Italian adolescents and contraception use. So without further ado, our first presenter, Heather Mosier.
Good morning. So before I begin, I just want to let you know I have no relationships to disclose. So this is going to be kind of just a really brief synopsis of what we've been doing. I'll be going through it pretty quickly. I want to leave a good 6 minutes. We have a video I'd like to show you, which is a nearly completed video that we've created with youth. So forgive me for speeding through, but I feel free to ask questions afterward, and I'll be happy to talk with you as well to answer any questions. So what I'll be talking about today is a video-based participatory action research project with high school teens in West Hartford, Connecticut. We call the project Teen Reaction Video Project. The aim of the project is to reduce teens' abuse of prescription drugs through a social marketing campaign developed in collaboration with youth. What we know is that prescription drug abuse among teens remains a significant problem in the U.S. National studies in 2011 show that 15 to 20% of high school seniors used a prescription drug non-medically in the past year. Teens report that it's easy to access prescription drugs and that these drugs are perceived as safer than illicit drugs. So the purpose of this project, this collaborative project, was to conduct research to understand teens' direct experiences with prescription drug abuse. This information was then used to develop and evaluate an intervention that would increase teens' perception of harm, change peer norms among teens, and encourage parents to safely store and dispose of their prescription drugs. We use participatory action research and participatory video methods. Participatory action research involves participants as equal partners in all stages of the inquiry. The results are used directly by community members to take action to resolve the problem at hand. Participatory video is a methodology often used in participatory action research projects, and it involves using video to increase critical reflection and communication among participants. It has the added benefit of creating products that can be used as a tool in intervention and also research dissemination. This project was collaborative. It was conducted by ICR in partnership with a school of pharmacy, as well as a prevention substance abuse prevention commission that's local, also high school students, and a filmmaker from Quamba Productions. The research team consisted of 7 high school students. They were all 15 to 16 years old, and 3 adult researcher facilitators from ICR who trained and assisted the teens in conducting research. Additional team members included a pharmacist consultant and student pharmacists to provide expertise on the pharmaceuticals and their effects. As a team, we first developed a research model, and then we created interview questions to test the model. Then the teen researchers recruited and conducted 12 in-depth interviews with peers who had direct experience with using prescription drugs non-medically. After transcribing the interviews, the team identified themes and analyzed the interview together, and we did that as a group. So we reviewed the interviews, and we identified these key themes within broader domains, such as characters, motives, setting, and so forth. We then clustered these themes by examining the patterns of relationships across or among the themes across the domains. The goal was to identify these archetypal stories that would illustrate the important contextual factors and sequence of events that could be considered a typical scenario. We identified, through this process and through analysis, we identified 5 archetypal stories from among this group of 12 teen respondents. Across the top of the table, you can see that we have these different domains, such as characters' motive, for using prescription drugs, the gender of the character who more often used prescription drugs in this manner. I say character just because we translated this into a video, so it's kind of easier just to use that language. Also the size of the group and the location in the story, how they access the prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs, what type of drugs were used in the story, and also what the outcome was. Since motive was a primary domain, each story was identified by the character's motives. As you can see, we have 5 motives, and we found those 5 primary motives to be using prescription drugs to get high, also using prescription drugs to enhance performance in school, also to reduce social awkwardness on a date, to lose weight, or because an addiction developed to a medically prescribed drug. And because of limited time, I won't necessarily describe each of the stories in detail, but to give you a sense of how the themes work together to form an archetypal story, I'll discuss one of the most common motives reported, which was the use of prescription drugs for the high or for the novelty of the experience. This motive was associated more with males compared to the motive of using prescription drugs to reduce social awkwardness on a date in a dating situation or for weight loss purposes, which was more associated with females. And as you can see, both for getting high and for dating, in the dating situations, teens used prescription drugs in groups of 2 or more, compared to the other motives where drugs were used when alone. So getting back to kind of story 1, which is the getting high story or the getting high motive, which was most common among this group of teens. Teenage boys, just to give you a sense of the story in context, teenage boys reported hanging out with friends in a location away from school and away from home, which is different from other stories, either in a car or an abandoned building or an abandoned highway, somewhere in a secluded location. And typically the boys would hang out and smoke marijuana and sometimes mix in prescription pain relievers that one of the boys would bring from home. And in general, they describe the situation in their interviews as fun and with no negative outcomes, other than a few, whereas, you know, escaping from police and then they lost their skateboard and, you know, certain things like that, which was something they considered a real bummer. So some of the key themes that were common across all stories, for example, related to motive for use in prescription drugs, was really related to this desire, even though they're different in terms of dating versus this, you know, specifics about why they're doing it in that particular situation. Overall, they're really doing it to fit in, and that's how they described it, really fitting in or meeting social expectations of friends, family, society, and sense of weight loss, that kind of thing. Across all the stories, teens found it easy to access prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs, which is very consistent with national findings. Also, it was common for teens to mix prescription drugs with alcohol, over-the-counter drugs, and marijuana. So once the data were analyzed, we began to develop the intervention. And the intervention will disseminate the research findings using a variety of formats and communication channels, such as video on YouTube, community dialogue at a town hall meeting, and flyers and print materials to promote prescription take-back community programs. We've currently completed the first edit of the two videos. I'll show you one of them today. That will be a tool in the intervention. So to give you a sense of how we rated all of these different stories to decide on the two, which was a very difficult process, I'll let you know how we did that in our process. We rated the stories based on three factors. One was relevance, or how much it resonated with a larger number of youth in West Hartford. Also, impact, or the potential of the story to change teens' perceptions or behaviors. And also the level of risk or degree of potential harm in the outcome of the story. In addition to the rating scales, we also considered two other factors when we selected the two stories. The topic relevance to both males and females, so that we didn't want to select two videos that were very much targeted to one particular gender. Also the consistency of the findings in the interviews with national and local prescription drug abuse statistics. The West Hartford High School system collects survey data annually on students' drug abuse and other health behaviors, so we had a sense of what's been happening locally as well. So the two stories that were selected were the dating story, which was very much more common with females, and then also the getting high story, which was more common with males. And both of these archetypal stories focus on peer norms. So the next steps for developing the videos were to write the scripts and the story based on the interviews. So we have specific dialogue, specific settings, all of those contextual factors that you find when you're thematically analyzing your interviews. We compiled all of that and embedded those details and that data into the scripts, into the story. And then we performed the youth selected friends, if they felt uncomfortable performing in front of video, or they themselves would perform and act out the scripts, which were composite stories, and we videotaped them. So I want to show you one of the videos now. It's the Getting High story, which the youth titled Epic Bail.
Thank you. good. It's not so bad.
It is. Well done.
No, I'm okay.
Take care.
Yeah, I'm texting.
Good. I put a little extra stuff in this one. I put some oxy. It really jacked up the high.
Dude, this is my first time. I don't want to do that.
So the next step, so as I was saying, this was a first edit. We have talked with the youth who've created the video based on the research findings, and they feel like it's authentic, and now it's kind of going through the process of working with a group of youth and parents and different kind of stakeholders in the community to get the messaging right, to make sure all the balancing of authentic and keeping it to the research, and also what are you exposing people to, and kind of all of those issues. So you're the first to see it before it goes out. So the next steps is to work with teens and parents of teens to develop prevention messaging that will be used in the videos and in other parts of the campaigns, and also to create a more detailed implementation plan to disseminate the findings. For example, teens believe that the videos will have more impact on other teens if they're disseminated on YouTube and promoted so that the videos will go viral. And parents have expressed interest in coordinating a town hall meeting to promote community dialogue around the issue. And we're currently also developing an evaluation plan. And since the aim is to reduce teens' abuse of prescription drugs, we intend to evaluate the effectiveness of the campaign activities in increasing awareness of prescription drug abuse and its dangers, in increasing knowledge of proper disposal of prescription drugs, encouraging disposal of prescription drugs at community-wide take-back programs, and decreasing teens' access to prescription drugs. We'll measure outcomes using web analytics for online video viewings and also through surveys of parents, teens, and community members. We have district-wide surveys that will collect data on teens' access to and abuse of prescription drugs. We have an online parent survey, and we'll collect data on outcomes around proper disposal of prescription drugs. And in addition, pre-post surveys will be used to assess the effectiveness of campaign activities in increasing awareness and knowledge about prescription drug abuse. There are many people who are part of this project, so I won't have time to thank them all, but they're up here so you can see them. So thank you, and I guess we'll wait for questions later.